Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Today's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast comes in association with Nutmeg, the Scottish football periodical. The subscription-only quarterly publication is filled with top-quality writers, great articles and fascinating stories about the beautiful game in Scotland. Get your subscription at www.nutmegmagazine.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's edition of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. My name is Joel Skett.
And I'm Gary Cocker.
Oh yeah, I was meant to introduce you there.
Yeah, you were. You just sort of turned them around to me.
I was already doing my thing when I was already thinking what I'm going to say next. Once I was meant to have introduced you. Just that Craig Cairns and Graham, they always come up with
Something funny
to get us into.
We just provide some amateurish
yes.
beginnings, and that's the comedy.
And it's going to be an amateurish middle and end as well. It's just the two of us again on the Edinburgh podcast. Fowler is pretty much just given up on the terrace.
He doesn't care about you anymore.
He is sun up in Albufeira in Portugal. All right, for some, and he's obviously been getting paid too much money by the BBC. Anyway, we are going to be talking about the top 12 fullbacks.
Yes.
In the league. This was difficult because there's not very many good fullbacks in the league.
And we also decided this topic 24 hours ago, I believe.
Yes, 24 hours ago.
So the research has been tight.
Yes, it has been. Yeah. It has been tight.
And I think there's also quite a lot of fullbacks looking at the lists. A lot of fullbacks who, depending on your methodology, you could put in, but they've not played a minute
yes.
this season. Or they've played very little this season because there's quite a lot of what we will call experience or veteran fullbacks still on the books.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like with Celtic and Rangers, you could argue a case for just like older fullbacks. Lee Wallace, I'm a big fan of. However, he can't justify putting him in. I certainly can't.
And you're obviously a massive fan of Mikael Lustig as well. I'd be shocked if he's not in your top 12.
I was actually going to say. Do you want to go through some players who you've left out, whether you think maybe a bit harshly or you just weren't interested in him?
I left off Lustig because before I met you, Joel, I didn't really have any strong feelings on Mikael Lustig, but then you started pointing out little things about how he, you know, he's always nipping away at the referee, or he's actually a wee bit of a shithouser.
I'm glad.
And it's infected my brain.
I have brainwashed you.
You have, and I've not been able to look at him the same way, and I think certainly in the last couple of years he's fallen off a cliff anyway. So he was getting nowhere near my list.
Agreed, he's not on my list. Neither is Jeremy Toljan. And this, because Toljan, slightly harsh perhaps, but I was certainly swayed by his European performances. And then when the fact that I left Lustig out just because I think his time is up at Celtic. The fact that they brought in Toljan and he's been playing in bigger games. The fact that I left Toljan out, I can't justify putting Lustig in, despite him being his longevity in the league.
I thought about putting Toljan in, but I don't think he's played enough games yet for us to make an accurate assessment of where he is, and whatever we do could look really, really stupid. Leaving him off could look really, really stupid as well, but at least if we have some basis for it.
Guy, I know whatever I do, I'm going to look really, really stupid, so I'm comfortable with that.
I've also left off Shea Logan.
Oh, yeah, you do this, yeah, sorry. I was really surprised. That was really good acting for me, because you told me before we came on that you'd left Shea Logan, and I still sounded really surprised.
You just weren't really listening to me. No, again, he's one who I'm sure that we'll talk a lot about, another Aberdeen fullback who's come in this season and made a real impression. And I think Shea Logan is somebody who would be a mainstay of this list in previous years, but I just don't feel as if he's had the exposure this season to really be worth it. And there's still, looking at my list, there's a couple of people on here who are probably on because of time served, but they're still enough of a feature that I thought, they can stay in. But yes, Shea Logan's another one. There's a few others that either of us might have in the lower reaches.
So I wanted to mention St. John's fullbacks, Tanzer and Richard Foster.
I've got Foster on my list.
You've got Foster, okay. Yes. This, Tanzer I've not been a fan of. St. Johnstone fans, I think he's been the most consistent fullback over the season for St. Johnstone. However, not every time I've watched him, but there's a lot of moments where I've watched him where I just feel that he's been, I just can't see it. Every time he seems to play against James Forrest, he just gets left for dead. His positioning at times is questionable. His concentration, as you see with the James Forrest goal, and there's been so many St. Johnstone Celtic games. I think it was in the 2-0 game at McDermott Park where Celtic scored two late on. I'm not a big fan of him one-on-one, whereas spoke to a couple of St. Johnstone fans on Twitter. They praised him. However, I personally couldn't justify putting him on my list. Even though looking at his stats on my side, they're quite impressive in terms of duels, in terms of crosses, just in general involvement. Richard Foster we'll talk about when you get to yours. Another one I left out off that I potentially consider was Nathaniel Ralph.
He is on my list.
He's okay, we'll get to him, okay.
Of course he's on my list.
Yes, I feel he might be.
Always on brand. I think we should also give it a little shout out to some Championship players.
Yeah, go for
because
that.
Because I don't feel as if I've seen enough of them to justify putting them on, but they deserve a shout out. So Marcus Fraser, 2018-19 champions, Ross County.
Yes, he was the first one. He was the first one mentioned by Sean yesterday.
Yeah, and then there's Longridge at Dunfermline, that traitor Dixon at Falkirk as well, and then Harvey at Ayr was another one.
Yeah, the two, like it's Daniel Harvey and Liam Smith as well.
Yeah,
ex-Hearts that I think they've done quite well. But again, I can't say so I've seen too much of them.
Nope, and I think when we were doing the goalkeepers list, I think a few of you put Doon.
I was only one to put Doon. I was swayed because I think the two nights before I'd watched Aaron against Ross County at Dingwall, and Doon was really impressive. And then Ian McCall talked him up after the game, and both Sean and Craig Telford waxed lyrical about him, so I was sort of swayed by that. Do you want to just dive in?
Might as well, yeah.
Who have you got 12, 11 and 10?
12, 11 and 10. At 12, I have Nathaniel Ralph.
Okay.
Nathan Ralph. 11, I've got Lewis Stevenson.
Yep.
And at 10, I have Ricky Foster.
Okay. So I have Stevenson at 12, Ricky Lamy at 11, and Borna Barisic at 10.
We can come on to Barisic.
Yeah.
Because he's a curate's egg of a player. But.
Oh, yes. So I have Ralph and Foster, the two ones I left out just. So Ralph at 12, tell me about him.
When he signed for Dundee in his first couple of games, he looked absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
He did not. I actually picked him out as our worst signing. I picked out Mendy as our best signing, so it probably shows what I know. And that working as a football scout is not a potential career path for me. I'm sure there's a stat that you and Fowler have picked out for Ralph on Y Scout about a number of aerial duels won, which if you look at Ralph, he's 5'9", maybe 5'10". But Yep, he's good in the air. He's good at going forward. He's a steady, dependable left back. I think at the beginning of the season, we thought we've not really upgraded here on Holt and... Ortenechi.
Who
we had last season.
Bastion.
Yes, Bastion. That would have been the easier thing. But I want to try and be professional. We didn't really think as if we upgraded, but I think now he is a steady, dependable presence at left back. Not flashy, but he does the job, and it's not the problem that it once was, whereas right back is still a bit of an issue for Dundee. I think that of all of the quote-unquote assets that Dundee have for when we're stripped for parts, when we get relegated this at the end of the season, he's probably one of the ones who could get picked up by another team rattling about that part of the league.
He was, I think he's the defender which has stood out for Dundee this season, and again, it's not a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing I was going for, looking at the stats. He is 8 for success duels, mm-hmm. and he's won 68.7% of his aerial duels. He is the, looking at just going through the list, I think he's the only fullback in the top 30.
Yeah,
so he's only fullback, which is surprising because you look at him and you think he's an attacking. You look at him and think he looks like more of a wing back than a fullback. Is that the case, or is he?
I would say it is what you see a lot with him, and it's usually Scott Wright at the moment who's ahead of him on the left. Is that they do that sort of overlap, that interchange? But he is still dependable at left back. I think another big part of it is, and there's a few other players on this list who this will apply to. If he doesn't play, the options there are not great. It's basically, we played Kasunga at left back against Motherwell, and I think against Celtic as well at Dens earlier in the season. Mm. And it was all right, but that was sort of taken into account. It was Sarah Kasunga. And there's not really anybody else that we could actually play there unless we moved somebody back. But now that Calvin Miller's gone back to Celtic and there's at Ayr United, we couldn't use him, and I wouldn't want to use him anyway. So he's one of the players that have gone here, because without him there's a massive drop to your next option. There's not a lot of depth, as they would say.
Yeah, that's fair. So you've got 11, you've got Lewis Stevenson.
Yes, I was toying with whether to have him bottom or Ralph bottom,
mm-hmm.
and I think the reason that I went with, not bottom, but 12th, and we can talk about Ricky Lamy as well, because he was another one that I was thinking about in this big mix. The reason that I've got Lewis Stevenson there is Lewis Stevenson's never really been a player that's impressed me or that I've enjoyed watching, but this season I think I've come to appreciate what he does a little bit more, and I think that to have that length of service and that generally steady service probably just puts him above Ralph for me.
He's my number 12, so I'll talk about, I may as well just kind of expand on your point. I was very similar to he's a steady Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of know what you're going to get from him. He is, I think, compared to like these, reminds of Robbie Nielsen when Robbie Nielsen was Hearts. You're always looking at that position as someone that you need, you could easily improve on, but he has seen off so much, so many left backs in his time at Hibs. Going back down to the Championship served him well. He's came back up. Last season I was really impressed. Him and Paul Hanlon showed that they belonged at this level, and that's just carried on this season. I've covered a few Hibs games, so I've had to watch him more intently. Mm. And especially at the games, you get an appreciation of what he brings to the team. He is, like I said, he is steady, dependable. He's all those kind of cliches, and he's versatile. He can move into a left wing back position. Number 10, you had Richard Foster.
Yes, I did. Again, very similar to Stevenson. Obviously, his time at Rangers wasn't really covered in glory.
Yes.
And when he first came to St Johnstone, I really didn't think that much of him. And obviously, he had a few bust-ups last season as well, so it wasn't just that he wasn't particularly performing to the extent that you would expect him to, but also he was actually actively harming the team on occasion. But whenever I've seen him this season, I've been very impressed. I think he's sort of matured and grown into that role a lot. And I think that for a St Johnstone team that I continually, repeatedly believe is about to fall off a cliff, he is emblematic of that St Johnstone team in that he's a player that I think a lot of casual observers of Scottish football will criticise or go, oh, Ricky Fosser, he's a funny one, isn't he?
Yeah.
But actually contributes a lot more than you think.
He was, I had him on my original list, I was back and forth. At one point this season, St John's fans were seriously touting him for the right back position for Scotland, because there was, I think Stephen O'Donnell pulled out, and I can't remember who ended up playing there.
I mean, in fairness, we are pretty light at that position. So
he even himself said that he was he thought he was good enough. I'm sure he said he was good enough for that position. However, his form over the last couple of months or so has been disastrous. So again, recency bias has come into, and I just think there's a lot of players who could move around this list, and Foster's probably my number 13. Mm-hmm. So that's why they put him on.
I mean, I was trying to think of over the course of the whole season, because he's not the only person in light blue who has fallen to pieces in recent weeks. I felt it would have been slightly unfair to punish him for that. You had Ricky Lammy.
Yeah, so I had Ricky Lammy at 11, so I think Stevenson was always going to be on my number 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it probably was between Lammy and Foster. Lammy is similar to what you said about Ralph. Livingston aren't the same team without him, so there's a drop off when he doesn't play. So he can play the left wing back position, or he can play left back. They have a player on loan from down south, I think Callum Brown. That's I've kind of just guessed that name.
So obviously a lot of focus of Livingston's backline goes on Gallagher, Halkett, Lithgow.
Yeah.
Which I can only ever say in that order because of the magic song that Livy fans sing for them.
To the tune of magic,
it's magic, you know, Gallagher, Halkett, Lithgow. So a lot of focus is on that back three and what they do. But
yes, so I mean, he has, I think he's just been really, really consistent. He's made a step up from Greenock Morton really well, which has somewhat surprised. I didn't see too much of him at Morton, but he's natural in both of those positions. He, similar to Gallagher, like Gallagher has able to play centre back or right back, and he's been excellent in both. I think that's the same with Lammy, the left wing back, left back. It's Kieran Brown who I was thinking of. He looks like a centre back playing at full back, but I think Lammy's been a big miss. And then number 10, Borna Barisic. Do you want to speak about him once we get to you?
We might as well. Cool. It'll be in the next tranche anyway.
So who have you got as your 9, 8 and 7?
9, 8, 7. I have Richard Tate
okay.
at 9.
Yep.
Barisic at 8.
Okay.
And then at 7, and to be fair, he could actually be slightly higher, but because he's always a 7 out of 10, your man Smith.
Okay. That's fine. So
I think that's purely for really weak passer reasons to put him at 7.
Right. So I have Andy Halliday at 9.
Okay.
I have Richard Tate at 8
mm-hmm.
and Shea Logan at 7.
Okay. What I'll do just for the purposes of this is I'll swap Smith with who is directly above him, because I had them the other way around until I realised 7 out of 10. So that was Halliday.
Okay.
At 7. So let's just go.
Talk about Barisic first.
Yep. As I said at the start, Barisic is, I like the phrase curate type of player, good mm-hmm. in parts, because he has got an incredible wicked cross on him, but he can't defend to save his life.
Right.
And I think it's, I really like that in a left back. You can tell that I've been going to Dens for too long, but I really enjoy it when you've got a full back who's actually really potent in forward areas,
mm-hmm.
Even if that means sacrificing a little bit further back. So it's sort of like a souped up version of James Tavernier, if you're to adhere to the stereotype of Tavernier not being as good defensively.
Yeah, just to back up your point there, give it context, he has the highest success rate for crosses. So he's a cross machine, he's got the highest mm-hmm. success rate crosses, and he's got the most, he's put the most deliveries in per 90 minutes he's played.
And I think he's been called up to the Croatian national team.
Yeah, he's certainly been in and around it,
Obviously he's been out with injury quite a lot recently as well, which has brought Andy Halliday, who we'll come on to, into the team. But I do think that Barisic has, I mean, I couldn't see Rangers moving to a back three with the current personnel they've got, but you almost feel like he would be more use as a wing back.
I mean, yeah, you think him and Tavernier are natural wing backs. I think when we do this, so you stay in the summer, if we do this list in 12 months' time, Barisic will be a lot higher up.
Yeah.
I feel he's been let down by the amount of games he's missed, injuries, his reliability. Gerrard's questioned. I don't think this came out in question his mentality, but he's maybe inferred it that he is...
He's still adjusting to the pace and the robustness of Scottish.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the other players who, when they get a niggle, he's treated a niggle more seriously than perhaps Gerrard hoped he would. So you've seen him come in and out, and like you said, Halliday stepped into that breach, and we may as well go on to speak about Andy Halliday.
Yep.
He is...
what a 12 months.
Unbelievable.
What a transformation from being cheered off by Celtic fans.
In the semi-final. He was subbed
before half-time.
Yeah. And you had that. You had the clash with Murray when he did get subbed.
Yeah,
you saw him as one of the players who you immediately thought he's out the door when Gerrard comes in. He's easy wood to get rid of. However, you have to kind of praise his mentality. If you thought about it, he has that mentality like Gerrard, that connection that Gerrard had with Liverpool, that's similar to Halliday with Rangers in terms of how much a club means to him. And you can't underestimate having that kind of presence around the club where they can transmit how important the club is and how big certain games are.
He knows what it means to be a Ranger.
He is properly staunch, and I think that's appreciated by Steven Gerrard.
And I think it's also accepting the fact he's not a centre mid.
I think he's too limited to be a centre mid. Whereas with the game, especially with the game when balls get played into him and he's got his back to the opposition, so when he plays looking at his own goal, whereas at left back he's got the game in front of him, and it's a lot more comfortable.
I mean, I do feel like I've maybe got him slightly too high here, even when I put him 7. But I think it's maybe just it is that total contrast between the guy who was sent off on loan to, I want to say, Kazakhstan.
Yeah, Baku, or
Azerbaijan, maybe.
Azerbaijan.
Sent off on loan to Azerbaijan, looked absolutely miserable. You could see him getting punted off to League 1, League 2 English team.
Yeah.
And just sort of frittering his life away. But he's totally transformed. Going totally off topic here. And speaking of defenders who frittered their life away, there is a fantastic feature in I think it's the Evening Telegraph today about Gary Kenneth. And I think the line in the feature is from facing Zlatan to appearing for Lochy United.
He does not look a good Nick, judging by the picture.
No, he turns 32 this year.
Yep.
But it looks as if he gave up playing football 32 years ago. It's not a great look for poor Gary. But I would put I wouldn't compare Halliday to Gary Kenneth in any way, shape, or form. But
Gary Kenneth, the 2-time Scotland international.
Yes,
2 caps.
Who Dundee United valued at £2 million in 2010.
There you go.
Turned down a £500,000 bid from Blackpool. I think.
Just going back to Halliday, he played for Gabala in Azerbaijan.
There we go.
So who do you want to move on to next?
We both have
Richard Tate. Yep.
Yep. So Richard Tate, obviously when he came to Motherwell, he was more of a right back when he first came.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas he's now obviously stationed over on the left, and I'm still having trouble getting used to that several seasons on.
That's
a funny thing when a player comes in, plays a whole season there. I think he was shifted over to left back to plug a gap, basically.
Yeah.
And he's just remained there ever since, and I'm struggling with it.
I think Graham says that the biggest compliment you can pay him is the fact that you have no ideas, or like you said, you forget that he's a right back, or no, I have no idea he's a right back, because he's been so consistent at left back. And he's been, Motherwell had a disastrous first half of the season, but he was one of the few that earned pass marks from it, and he's only gone on to have a stronger season.
Yeah, and I think obviously a lot of the focus of Motherwell fans at the moment is on Turnbull and Hasty. Green's coming onto a bit of a game as well. The Sock complaining about Main, which is something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there is obviously a much more solid defensive foundation there. I think when I was speaking to Graham, he was advocating for Grimshaw to be put in this list. But for me, I think if you're going to have any Motherwell player at fullback, it's
got to be Richard Tate. I'm not seeing too much of Grimshaw at right back. Not impressed, but I'm always seem to be impressed with Tate. He's grown into a big leader at Motherwell. But he's, I think he's gone over. He's pushed above McHugh Hartley as kind of that
Mr. Motherwell.
Yeah, I was going to say a totemic figure, but that is a lot more reasonable. He is a bit of a shithouse as well. He gets involved, but he's a wee bit snide. He gets in there, but he's always making sure his presence is felt. If Graham reckons that if he played at right back, continued at right back, because obviously Muller have had the problems at left back, and mm-hmm. he's been able to fill in there. If he stayed at right back, Graham reckons he'd be in the Scotland squad ahead of Stephen O'Donnell. That's a big compliment to pay him. He is one of those fullbacks who can do it all. He covers the ground really well. He's used to playing at wing back. He's aggressive and he understands his defensive responsibilities, but he's a key attacking asset because he plays either side. He can whip it in with either side. That's a crucial kind of crucial asset to have, especially if you're playing with a winger who hugs the touchline. You can come in, underlap him, cross it, or vice versa.
Yeah. Shall we move on to 6-5-4?
I've just got
have someone else?
I've got Shea Logan.
Yeah, so I left him out for really poor reasons I explained earlier. So
he, I don't think he's had the best of seasons, but I still think he's, even when he's not been great, he's never bad. Just that I hold him to high standard. I just don't think he's one of the better right backs in the league. Fantastic crosser. I think that's perhaps underappreciated. That's kind of been affected. We're going to talk about another Aberdeen wing back whose mm-hmm. influence has grown without Logan in there, because Mackay Stephen and McGinn have struggled in the latter part of the season, and when they struggle, you've at least got Logan who can provide that support and run and quality out wide. I think he defends back post really well, and his presence in the team is always good for that bit of aggression.
Especially if they're playing Celtic.
Rangers as well. So, who have you got 6, 5 and 4?
I've got what sounds like a provincial solicitors company. Okay. Smith, Taylor and O'Donnell.
Oh, okay. Okay. I've got Taylor at... So, you've got O'Donnell at 4?
Yes.
Okay, I've got Taylor at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And in between them, I've got Max Lowe.
So you've got O'Donnell at...
4.
I've got
O'Donnell at 4, right. Max Lowe at 5, Greg Taylor at 6.
Okay, I've got Max Lowe slightly higher.
Okay, yeah. I know exactly where you've got Max Lowe.
Should we do 6-5-4-3? Because it's pretty obvious who the top two
of course,
be.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so for me it's Smith at 6, Taylor at 5, O'Donnell at 4, Lowe at 3.
I have got Taylor at 6, Lowe at 5, O'Donnell at 4, Michael Smith at 3.
Okay.
Bias, is that? That's what that's called, Gregory, bias.
Do you want to start on Smith then?
Yeah, let's start on Michael Smith. Yeah. My first note I've written down is I love him. He's my favourite Hearts.
Solid, strong analysis there. Yep.
His importance is growing. Each passing week I've had to suffer the dignity of watching Marcus Godinho try and attempt to play right back. It's been very, very frustrating. Michael Smith is a traditional fullback. However, he has developed into more of an attacking asset for Hearts, which has been needed because there's a genuine lack of width other than Callum Morrison and mm-hmm. Jake Mulroney, two very inconsistent players across the season. Michael Smith is antithesis of that. He is Mr. Consistency. I've covered a lot of Hearts games this season with the Even News, and so I have to do player ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll write down the names before the game, so in team line, so it makes it easier and quicker. Michael Smith, I always put down a seven. And more often than not, it's gone up to an 8 rather than down to a 6.
Mm-hmm.
He stops crosses. So first of all, his main aim is to be a defender first and foremost. He stops crosses. He is very trustworthy with the ball. He takes up good positions, both in receiving the ball and then driving forward. You've seen it. Give a comparison. Callum Patterson, when he played right wing back for Scotland, there was times where he was bombing too far ahead, and so when the pass was getting played to him, he was having to check. That doesn't happen with Michael Smith. He is, as I've said, he's progressed in terms of his attacking ability. He will bomb forward. Hart, when he plays, you just feel a bit more safe. He's like he's like your bed on a stormy cold Sunday afternoon. You get curled up in it. I would curl up in Michael Smith. But also the fact that he's played as, which is kind of pushed my judgment to put him up to third place, is he's played in a back three as the centre of the back three and been Hart's best centre back when he's played there. He reads the game so well. He's always just nips in right place at the right time. I feel I've talked enough about Michael Smith, so...
All I was going to ask is, were you ever tempted to put Guruccio or Mitchell in this list? Because the funny thing is, if you look at Mitchell when he came in last season, he was quite rightly fated as, you know, this is a great option for us at left back. Hearts fans were delighted to get him back on loan.
Oh, when he resigned, it was incredible.
But he's not really...
He's been done. To put it mildly, okay, Gary, it'd be rubbish.
I was going for the polite version, but yeah.
As for Guruccio, if he had been given a bit more time, a bit more game time, maybe a longer run of games by Levine, he might have made the list, but he's been in and out of the team, and a couple of games where he's just not been deserving of it. So he didn't really come into my consideration. Moving on, who do you want to take? Do you want to talk about Greg Taylor next?
Might as well take both of the Killy boys. Yeah. But yeah, let's start off with Greg Taylor. I don't want to say the forgotten man.
But it's easy. I know exactly what you mean.
But he's not really, he's not really featured too much, I think, in people's minds. When people think of the Kilmarnock backline, obviously Stuart Finlay's been putting in a lot of great performances. Kirk Broadfoot is Kirk Broadfoot is having a real nice warm glow to the twilight of his career at Killy as well. Obviously Stephen O'Donnell has been called up to the Scotland team. He's now seen as a mainstay of the Scotland squad, despite the fact he was out of it I think for the last squad announcement for. But yeah, Greg Taylor's just a very dependable left back who offers something going forward as well, which is everything you want.
He is again Mr. You look at fullbacks and a lot of things you want, they're like, again, the opposite to wingers who are very streaky, kind of mercurial. You want fullbacks to be dependable, you want them to be consistent. He's only 21 years old. Yeah. And he is so incredibly consistent for Kilmarnock. I can't remember. So there's, for example, Stephen O'Donnell, I think, has, when he plays, kind of bigger ceiling, he's more noticeable. Mm-hmm. Greg Taylor, I can't think of a player who has, I can't think of the player having a bad game or a torrid time. I remember coming to Tynecastle and I was really looking forward to the battle between Morrison and Taylor. And it was around the time Morrison was on top form. Taylor just, honestly, I was just, I wouldn't go as far as saying a masterclass, because Morrison's only a teenage, kind of inconsistent teenage winger, but Taylor just dominated him. And from there on, I think the kind of Morrison's confidence took a dip. But Taylor is very dually, as in he's looking at stats, he's very involved. He is, as we've seen going back a couple of years, Joey Barton, he's not afraid to put the boot in. Rather than, like, O'Donnell plays a more aggressive attacking role, because Jordan Jones usually plays ahead of Taylor, I think he plays a more supporting one. He's played more than 110 games as well, which is great.
For a 21-year-old.
Superb. Yeah. I asked Craig Anderson about him, and he said he's one of the best youth products that he's seen in his time, just behind Chris Boyd and Stephen Naismith. So that's a testament to how well he's done.
Yeah. And I think it's just very unfortunate for him that the position that he plays is the same one that Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney take up. So we've obviously got two incredible left backs. Greg Taylor's a fantastic left back as well. And then if you look at the rest of the pit, if you look at the very back as goalkeeper, we don't have a lot of options.
No.
Or a lot of good options.
You mentioned about Taylor and Tierney there. I wouldn't be surprised if Tierney moved on at Celtic. I know Kelly fans won't like me for saying this. Celtic even potentially looked within Scottish football and seen Taylor as a possible replacement for him. Mm. Stephen O'Donnell, who did you have, Taylor or O'Donnell higher?
I had O'Donnell higher.
Okay.
I actually initially had O'Donnell at 3
Same.
And Lowe at 4, but then I think it's maybe just because Lowe's had such an impact this season, and I think last season was O'Donnell's real breakthrough season, the season where he really cemented himself in the imagination, and was obviously called up for the summer games against Peru
Mexico.
And obviously absolutely loved being part of the Scotland setup. So I don't know if it's maybe just a bit of, not so much reverting to the mean, but just that thing of, it is now normalised in my head that Stephen O'Donnell is, you know, an incredibly good right back.
Yeah.
And so now it takes a lot, he needs to do a lot more, or he needs to have one of those games to really stand out for me. Whereas, you know, Max Lowe coming in at Aberdeen has been a revelation.
Yeah, O'Donnell, I'm kind of similar to you in terms of O'Donnell and Lowe, and I chucked Smith in there as well, that Smith, O'Donnell and Lowe, either any of them could have been 3, 4 or 5. It was between those. I can add 3 or 4 different leagues within my top 12. And Smith, O'Donnell and Lowe were that league for me. O'Donnell is very different to Taylor. We said he's a real kind of powerhouse, because when he drives, he's like, he's just like a tank. There's kind of no stopping him. And I think he's massive in Kelly's attacking sense, especially as he's usually play someone quite narrow on the right, whether it's Burke or McKenzie, they never really play as an out and out winger. He's a great dribbler, and like you said, there has been a slight dip in his standards last season, for me, standards last season, but that was because he hit such a ceiling that even a drop, he's still been a very, very good right back. And that scene with he's been included in the Scottish squad again. We've talked about Smith, we've talked about Taylor, we've talked about Donald. Max Lowe, you've got him 3, I've got him 5, I could have easily put him 3. What's Lowe done for you? Is it just the fact that he's just a new name on the scene and he's really stood out Aberdeen?
Yep, and I think he returned to Derby, didn't he? And then for whatever reason, ended up coming back to Aberdeen. Yeah. And the reaction of Aberdeen fans, both to him leaving and to him coming back, I think says
a lot. Yeah. I watched the game he played for Derby, because it was against Leeds United.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a Friday night game. I noticed Lowe was playing, so it'd be interesting to watch him. He had an absolute stinker. There was a young Leeds right winger who just gave him a torrid time.
Does that mean that Bielsa was watching all of the Aberdeen games?
He probably was.
Tate's just going, who is this Andy Considine? Yeah. What is he doing?
I want to sign him for the Premier League. I charge for the Premier League. with Lowe, because Derby were able to sign Ashley Cole, that's how Aberdeen were able to get him back. And what signing he's been twice. They've needed a left back because they've just been doing
makeshift.
Yeah.
You know, or that whole perennial thing of, is Shanae a left back or is he a centre mid?
But he's clearly centre mid. You'd lose a lot from to play him at left back. Andy Considine, the last few months, he's been superb at centre back. Arguably Aberdeen's best centre back, certainly since the turn of the year. So he's not a left back. Lowe offers him so much more. No, Constantine can score, but Lowe offers him such an attacking, dynamic, energetic presence up that left wing. And like I mentioned with Logan, when McGinn and Mackay Stephen are off the boil, his ability to cover ground and provide that width is Matthew's. You've seen how aggressive he was in dispossessing Candace, I think it was, and setting up Gary Mackay Stephen to win the penalty in the cup game. I've just been so impressed with him. I just think he's the modern day kind of fullback you want. And if Aberdeen can hold on to him this summer, that would be such a coup.
Yeah.
Up to 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Who've you gone for 2?
I found this quite difficult.
Okay, I can kind of see where you come from.
The reason I found it difficult is because if we're basing this on this season, purely on appearances alone, there would be another argument to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gone with Tavernier 2, Tierney 1.
Same.
Because Tierney's still only 21. You know, we talked about ridiculous. Greg Taylor only being 21, but I think people still have an idea of Greg Taylor still being, you know, this young player, you know, could go on to greater things. Whereas with Tierney, he's still being, you know, he is now being talked about as if he's, you know, a good few years older. And at what point is he going to, you know, sort of go into his prime and, you know, move on from Celtic?
Yeah, so we talked about Greg Taylor having played, let me double check this.
There's 110 games.
Roughly 110. Kieran Tierney's played 175.
Yeah.
And he's missed, how many games has he missed this season? He missed 16 games through injury this season. He's came back and he slid right back into the team without any kind of hesitation. You see players who have had the long injury absence, it does take them two or three games to get back up. But he just came back in because I think, despite the injury, he looks after himself so well. He is he's robust. He's just such a physical, like athletic, like he has so much athleticism. And as you said, I think it's when he gets that move, rather than go from Celtic to Southampton to somewhere else, or like Robertson did, he went to Hull and then got the move to Liverpool. Tierney's going to go from Celtic to an elite team.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I understand where he came from in terms of Tavernier's appearances, and he probably has a bigger influence on Rangers as a whole, but Tierney is just so good that you just have to make allowance for him as being the best fullback in the league.
I think a lot of people will point to Tavernier's goals and assists this season, but I think he scored 11 goals in the league, checked, but a lot of those will be penalties.
How many goals he scored in the league, did you say? He scored 11 in the league. I think 9 have been penalties off the top of my head.
And 11 assists as well.
He's got 21 goals and assists between them. So just to give you an idea of how important and involved Tavernier is, he's got 21 goals and assists. He's in the top 20 in the league for shots. He's top for crosses. He's 23rd in the league for touches in the box. He's a right back. Second for passes, top for key passes, top for through passes, top for progressive passes, and second for progressive runs. So these are kind of penetrating runs or penetrating passes.
I think the one charge that is so laid at Tavernier's door is that he can be defensively suspect.
I have a theory about that.
He's definitely a lot better this season. But you did see, I think it was in the game against Hibs, when there was a delay in play for some reason. And I think the theory was that at that point, Heckenbottom pulled over, I think it was Camber and McNulty, and said, look, there's a space between Goldson and Tavernier, and exploit that a little bit. And it was after that, that Hibs scored. And I think it may just be more that the people he is put next to create something which could lead to more defensively suspect moments.
Yeah, so my theory regarding Tavernier is that he's pretty consistent defensively, that he's decent, he's not great, but he's as bad as the rap that's given to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's shown up when the team has defend poorly, because I've just listed all those kind of stats, he's good at. Allowances need to be made for him because he's such a influential player, certainly in the final third.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Hibs goal recently, you mentioned about that space. I think a team should try and exploit that. And I think Gerrard has to make allowances to protect Tavernier, because you can't take away that attacking instinct, how important he is. The goal, like I say, the goal that Hibs scored, he was fouled on the edge of the box. I think it was a foul. But then the reaction from his teammates, Goldson was screaming at Candias and Kamara to slot back in and cover, get goal side of Camberi. They didn't do it. I think he's got better with Candace in front of him. The winger knows when to move central to allow him to go up and out the outside. I'm a huge Tavernier fan, but he's not as good as Tierney.
No.
And I'm a bigger Tierney fan. I still maintain that he's a better player than Robertson.
And again, I think similar to Taylor, I think, and O'Donnell to an extent as well, people have just got used to Kieran Tierney. And because of that, you forget about exactly how good he is, how young he is. He's not going to be at Celtic forever, despite, you know, turning up in the away crowd and wearing Celtic tops on holiday and things. He's not going to be there forever. Eventually, he's going to be snapped up by a bigger team.
You hope so, because I don't want to say just because a good player to leave. So I enjoy watching him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very good at feigning injury or making sure the referee knows he's been fouled. However, I want to see him challenged at on a consistent basis at a higher level.
Mm-hmm. So you can definitely see him moving to, he could move to Leicester. He won't do that.
No, he shouldn't.
He really shouldn't go there. But you can see him moving to a bigger team. You could see him also making the move abroad and doing something. I think Graham Thulis always says, you know, Real Madrid left back, Kieran Tierney, which might sound like a stretch, but you know, he's got to test himself and stretch himself. And you can see in 15 years' time, once he's, you know, made his fortune elsewhere, he's, you know, gone all over Europe winning all sorts of trophies, he comes back home to Celtic.
Yeah, that's very productive. I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
The people scoff him when I say that Tierney's better than Robertson. I maintain that. But even if you don't think that, you have to feel that he's going to be a better player than Robertson. He's got 4 years on Robertson. Mm-hmm. 4 years on him, and he's already proved himself at a higher level than Robertson did at his Hedges group.
Yeah,
when he was Tierney's age,
I think the other thing is that you do see Robertson, not often, but you see Robertson making more individual errors.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always punished, but you see him making a lot more individual errors. Obviously, the difference is he's playing at a higher level because he's playing Premier League opposition week in, week out, and getting to the latter stage of the Champions League, whereas Tierney's not able to do that yet. So perhaps once he makes that move, you'll see more of the same. But
yeah. Perfect. That's us done. Thank you very much for listening. You can find us on all the usual places and platforms. I'm just trying to think. Next week, probably back in Glasgow on Monday. However, tune in on 11 PM on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
BBC Scotland, A View from the Terrace. Gary, you'll be making your first appearance.
I will indeed.
You are playing chess against a Premiership star, which I've seen the clip. I think you enjoyed doing it, and I certainly enjoyed watching it. It's really good.
Well, he enjoyed doing it. It's another matter entirely.
Who cares? It was good television.
Just don't ask him.
Say goodbye. Unless you've got anything else to say.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
Not to you.
Not to me. I love it soon.
I love the look on your face, though. You weren't sure whether to be offended or to be creeped out. But no, happy birthday to a regular listener of the podcast Wars.
Yes. We hope you have a fantastic time.
I believe, I'm not sure if she actually knows this, but I believe that you're off to enjoy your Saturday at a football ground.
Of course, yeah. There's something special.
So I'm not sure if that is a surprise or not. I've partially ruined it. Sorry about that.
We apologise for that, but we really do appreciate your support. You've always given us positive feedback, being a great fan of us for
Patreon subscriber. Come to the live shows. All that jazz.
So yeah, we really do hope you have a great Saturday, a great birthday, and a great life.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.